Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
All right, here we go, 7:47, 13 till 8. Time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. How you doing, Mark?
Happy Friday to you, sir. How are you?
How many air miles a year do you log? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I just got my statement. Delta Airlines is my preferred airline. I would reach for them first, but I don't exclusively fly them. And they sent me my year-end summary, and last year on Delta alone was 78,000 miles. And UNO sent me to China toward the end of last year, and I flew American. So that is 78, so probably 100,000 miles.
I don't know where that rates. That gets you what? What do you get for that, toaster?
Well,
what?
So it Delta told me at 78,000 miles that I was in the top 1% of all of their flyers. It doesn't sound right. I would think the top 1%, some people that are on the, you know, a plane three times a day, some nonsense like that, that they're logging in many more miles than me. I'll take it on its face value. I mean, if they said it, I'm thinking, they're lying to me. But it's, you know, you accumulate points, and I do watch my points because I log enough miles for that to be of interest to me. And back to what you were saying before, I have absolutely no, and I maybe I just built that way. I do know people that are afraid of flying, and I have no worry about that. It's the least thing on my mind when I get on a plane.
You can't control it anyway, right?
No, yeah, no. Just bring me another martini.
tell you what you can control are your personal finances, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I've been speaking to a couple of friends of mine, acquaintances, business owners, architects, lawyers, and it seemed like, you know, last year it just was enough to bring out a lot of conversation. It seemed just like more than usual, and that might not be as accurate as I want it to be. It just seems that way. And I thought to talk this morning about, you know, just the volatility in the market, volatility in your portfolio, and you and I always segue back to, how's my 401k doing? Because that's a lot of times a litmus test for somebody. If the balances are up and I'm doing decently, you know, you feel good about yourself. It's called the wealth effect. And you even, you know, are more relaxed about life many times. If you remember, you and I were saying during the credit crisis of 08-09, 401ks became 201ks. And that we weren't having any fun with that.
Mm.
And so some of these people, that colleagues of mine, they're about my age, I'm 65. And they were saying, you know, well, what do you do to temper the volatility? Last year, the markets between the S&P 500 and Dow, they were setting record after record. The markets were climbing. We had in Fed watch, but it was in a good way. I don't like the Fed to be too much involved with the market because they can cause quite a bit of volatility. But it was on the good side of them. They were looking at lowering rates so many times, and the market was just as ecstatic as they could be. But it was risk. Because things turned out that they didn't happen as planned. All these rate reductions turned into very few rate reductions. And then rate reductions going into 2025 have all but dissolved. So that's volatility. So we saw the market max out right after the election, and the election itself was causing some trepidation and volatility just because of its nature. And it's like the Dow hits an all-time high of 45,000 and quickly retreats 3,000 points. Well, the people that were beating their chest when it was at the all-time high were less vocal about it, you know, less enthusiastic when the Dow retreated. So I had an architect friend of mine was sitting down having lunch. He says, you know, he's older than me. He's probably a year or two away from 70, something 67, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I talked to my financial advisor about this, and I said, I need to just preserve what I have. I'm at the point that I'm wanting to skate into retirement in a not too distant future. And the markets tend to be too volatile over short terms. Long term, you see that the market goes up 70% of the time. But in a short term, it could have the volatility that people don't want. And his financial advisor said, you know what? All of the downturns over history have been buying opportunities. You get in, and if you have the courage to do, you buy in when those things are falling like crazy, and you pick up at bargain prices, and then it reaches another all-time high, and you're very happy with yourself. He says, yeah, but when you're going into retirement, you might not have the ability to withstand another downturn. If you're 40 years old, his investment advisor's age, well, he could make those comments and take that strategy. And it's like, you know, anything. So segueing into a potential solution to volatility, anything that tends to temper volatility is when a company is paying you in cash. What do I mean by that? Bonds are much less volatile than stocks because of the nature of the investment that it is. Preferred stocks are much less volatile, generally speaking, overall, than common stocks. You can get some common stocks that are less volatile than others, and they normally the big stalwarts. I mean, it might be an auto company, it might be Caterpillar. Those that Walmart has done wonderfully over the past 5 years, way beating the S&P 500, and you wouldn't think it. You're like, Walmart, I mean, why is that stock doing so well? Well, it's this huge retailer that's very well positioned in the economy, and people like to go to Walmart. So it's done wonderfully well. But when the company is, when alluded to, when the company is paying you, you know, the tech companies tend to, one, be very volatile because of the nature of their business, but they also don't pay a dividend. All the other investments that I just mentioned, the bonds, preferred stocks, and the large common stocks, large company common stocks, are paying a dividend. Then it's all about, well, how much dividend? Well, some of these stocks, I mean, the people look at, and I'm not recommending it, I'm just pulling one, you know, AT&T tends to have a large dividend. What do I mean by large? It's like 6%. Mm-hmm. So somebody's looking at bank products or looking at some other fixed income type of products, and it's like, well, you know, they're not paying me 6%. I might get 2 or 3, and maybe even 4 or 5, but that one is higher than that. You've got some of the other alternatives. Some stocks out there, REITs, real estate investment trusts, they've been touted over the last couple of months as, well, they're going to start doing better, and depending on what REIT it is, that's going to be in another segment. We'll talk about REITs, but some of them pay 10%. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm getting a 10% dividend in cash sent to me quarterly is typical. Some REITs that I own pay me monthly. Every month I get a check from them. So what happens with that is you imagine that money is not exposed to risk. Whatever it ends up being, what if a company is sending you a couple of $100, be it a REIT or be it a bond or be it a large company stock, that you've taken risk off the table. You've got cash in your hand. So that's not like like if you bought a tech company that doesn't pay a dividend at all. You are exposed to the stock's movements, and there's nothing to temper that volatility. So not to get statistical on us, but give us a for instance, a long-term, I'll say it and then I'll explain it. Long-term standard deviation of large company stocks, big stocks, Caterpillars and those companies, is 20%. What does that mean? That means any year they have an average return that's been good over time. It might be like 12, but that's plus or minus 20%. So that any given year you could get a wonderful return like 30, or you can lose money. Okay, those are the large stocks that don't have a lot of risk with them inherently. Now, you go into bonds, and in the case of my architect friend, I'm thinking about him. If he was buying a bond, it might have only a five-year maturity to it. You invest, you buy the bond. 5 years later, you get get your money back. And the standard deviation, the swing, is 5%. Mm-hmm. Much less volatile, not as much to worry about, much safer from a volatility standpoint than some of the equities that we're describing this morning. So a bond inherently, you're buying it, you're in essence loaning the company money. So it's a forward bond, you're loaning forward the money, and it's got a maturity date that the price is going to approach that price at maturity. And you're going to get, basically, unless Ford files for bankruptcy, you're going to get your money back. Mm-hmm. So that tends to, you know, give people ease. If you're worried about this, talk about fear of flying. Some people have fear of investment volatility. And it's if you want that number to be smaller, what number? The standard deviation or just the volatility, depending on how people want to define that, it tempers that significantly. And that's where you see the I don't want to call them old timers. That's not a very nice phrase. But it's the people that are seniors, that late 70s. You see them buying bank CDs. I want zero volatility. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you find yourself segueing into those types of investments. And if you wanted to take all the volatility out of your portfolio, all of it, well, then you could a bank CD would be a product that does that. All they do is pay you dividend.
Mark,
and
we got
zero risk to principal.
We got to run. That's some very valuable information. I got some calculators at jeffersonfinancial.org that'll help. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you Monday when we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. 7:57 traffic now. WWL.